Welcome to the Health Fix Podcast, where health junkies get their weekly fix of tips, tools, and techniques to have limitless energy, sharp minds, and fit physiques for life. Hey, health junkies, you might have noticed that I'm releasing podcasts on Wednesdays now. What is going on there? Well, I have decided that I really wanted to connect more with podcast listeners on some of the emotional and mental side of health. And so my Wednesday podcasts are going to be me talking more often than not, but also some guests who I've had on that are really experts in helping with anxiety, stress, overwhelm, self-sabotage, all those things that get in our way of being successful with health, with future goals, whatever it may be. So I'm going to be doing that on Wednesday. So stay tuned for Wednesday's podcast, just like this one. Let's get into the podcast. Hey, health junkies. On this episode of the Health Fix Podcast, you get me, Dr. Janine Krause, as me. Now, we're going to be talking about hormones. We're going to talk about your body, and we're going to talk about what I despise the most about being in the functional medicine, naturopathic medicine world. So, what's that? This concept of fear-based medicine, propaganda, basically. Now, what I'm getting at is, it's like you need to do a detox. You're gonna die if you don't do all these detoxes. You're gonna, you know, you have this bug living in your gut. And if you don't take medicine or herbs or things of that nature, that bug is going to keep reaping havoc on your body. Well, let's be real here. I've been in the game almost 17 years now. And here's the thing. I've tried the medications for the gut bugs. I've tried using the pharmaceuticals. I mean antibiotics here. I mean antifungals, like hard stuff that I cringe that I was prescribing to people. And then I used a bunch of herbs to try to kill things. And there are situations in which I do think the herbs are game changers. But the hardcore meds, man, you know what? We're skipping over what we need here. We're skipping over the basics. We like done forgot about the basics. We just went way past the basics and we went straight towards like the heavy hitter stuff. And I'm not gonna lie, because I jumped into the biohacking, which I've now decided to call biotuning, as one of my podcast guests lovingly called it. I'm going with it because I like that concept. Hacking just sounds, I don't know, harsh. And I feel like we've went beyond trying to find those magic pills in the natural or the alternative medicine or the functional medicine realm, kind of trying to repeat conventional medicine, looking for magic pills. When in reality, there's not a freaking magic pill to help reboot your health. There's not a magic pill to balance your hormones. But there is something that can be incredibly magical. It's your own body. We do not give our bodies enough credit for what they're able to do. We give our power over to the supplements, the herbs, the gurus in this space of detoxing. We give our power over to doctors. I don't want anybody to give their power to anybody but themselves. You have the ability to heal yourself. You have an amazing, intelligent, freaking complex, but awesome body. And you can tap into that. Now, it's very popular right now to be talking about quantum health and things of that nature, where it's you're thinking about improving your health, your positive thought, all those different things. And I believe in that. But sometimes you have to get to a space to work on the mindset. You got to work on the basics first. We're skipping over the basics. And so in this podcast, I'm going to be talking about the basics, but I'm going to be talking about in relation to hormones. Now, if you've heard any of my previous posts with reels, things of that nature, I don't sugarcoat things. My mom died of breast cancer in 2004. My aunt died 6 months after her in 2004. I didn't graduate from Bastyr until 2007, and so I felt helpless to help her. And I watched her go down the chemo route over and over again, multiple remissions over the course of 10 years. She was first diagnosed when I was 15 years old. And the crazy messed up part about her diagnosis was that she felt a lump a year ahead of her diagnosis, told her doc about it. She had a mammogram. They were like, yeah, it's nothing, no big deal. What? Stage 4 cancer is where she ended up getting diagnosed a year later. Are you kidding me? If we would have had thermography on board, if we would have had these things on board, and if I would have known, maybe she'd be alive today. Maybe if we could keep her from the chemo. Maybe if we could keep her from things of that nature. I don't know. You know, I go through my whole, you know, scenarios over and over again. And the answer is what my mom didn't focus on was a lot of the basics. Yes, she had great naturopathic doctors who inspired me to be where I am today that were helping her with herbs. And they were helping her with changing her diet. But there were a couple key things that I think could have been reinforced. And maybe, you know what? Maybe we weren't at that space yet of thinking about the basics. I don't know. I'm not going to blame them. They're amazing people. So what am I talking about? I'm talking about looking at the quality of your water. We never looked deeply at the quality of our water at our home in Illinois where I grew up. There's a freaking book called The Eternal Spring on the Midwest where I grew up. That talks all about the toxicity of the water because of all the coal plants, because of the industry in the area. Ugh. We should have been looking at that. We never had a filter. We had a filter on our fridge. And in the 90s, I'm guessing that those filters were not carbon filtration reverse osmosis systems. In fact, even now, your refrigerator filter helps on like a minimal level. I'm going to be honest and real with you here. You need something harder core. I love the Berkey filtration system. Aquasana is another great one. They're countertop systems. They're not built into your home. But I do think that you do need something to help with the filtration of the water into your home. At the very least, going over to Home Depot, Menards, wherever you live, to your store where you can get a good carbon filtration system coming into your house. I don't think you have to spend thousands of dollars on it. But I think water matters. If I look at my mom's friends, she grew up 20 miles from where I grew up, where she lived her entire life. 5 out of her 6 best friends had cancer. The one that didn't? Alzheimer's. Farm country? Absolutely. Rural Illinois at the border of Illinois and Wisconsin. Downwind from a coal plant that's interestingly enough right now being dismantled. So, what do I have to say about this? I think water matters. And I think we're overlooking the importance of how water impacts our health. In fact, I did an incredible podcast interview with Greg the Hydrogen Man. And Greg has Uprising 141, I believe is his YouTube channel. There's incredible information out there. But here's the thing. He is a promoter of the holy hydrogen air and water system. And I think there's something to this. And he's talking all about clean water, but he's talking about carbon filtration, reverse osmosis, and in particular, clean water that has a little bit more hydrogen in it. There's something to the water. There's something in our water that is not serving us. And we need the water for our hydration. We need the water for every one of our cells to function. You can't supplement your way out of crappy water. You can't eat your way out of it. You can eat as clean as you possibly want, but if you're washing your food with this contaminated water, is that helping? I don't think so. Now, here's the thing. I didn't move out of my parents' house until I was 20 years old. I mean, I was back and forth, but really, I didn't officially move. I mean, yeah, I went to college. Went to different colleges, but here's the deal. A lot of my life I spent in that home with that well water. And this last past August, we found a cyst in my breast that looks suspicious. I will not have advanced testing on it until I can do some more things, and I'll let you know about that as things go on. But I have to wonder, was it the water? Was it the air? So let's move into the second thing. The basics of health, air. We need to be looking at what is going on with our air quality. We are exposed to over 80,000 plus chemicals a day. We can't control all of that. We cannot control all of what is coming down on us. How do we control it? We work on our environmental air quality within our homes, within our workspaces if we can. I don't know how many patients of mine, I will test them for mold and find out that they have aspergillus. Where are they getting that from? More often than not, we found out it's their work duct system, their air conditioning system in their work. Air quality matters. I teamed up with a good pal of mine that I was introduced to from a cousin of mine, X22. It is GBC Medical Supply. They're a great company for ionized air, and it's ultraviolet air, ionized, all the things. I'm not a tech geek in the air quality department. He is. His name is Paul, and he is incredible for knowing these things. So I highly recommend the X22 and all of the products that have ultraviolet light to help with improving your air quality. I even use it for when, and like right now, I'm not in my home because we had new furniture delivered. We had a new rug delivered, and it's off-gassing. I don't want to be next to that. I don't know how many folks will get new things like clothes, furniture, etc., and not even think about how much that air quality changes from just those things getting in your system. Now, I'm not here to scare you. And like I said in the beginning of this podcast, it's not about scaring you about these things. It's about, okay, let's have that awareness and then go, okay, if we can minimize the exposure to these things, we can prime our bodies to naturally be able to detox and take care of themselves. The problem is not that we need another fancy guided herbal or juice cleanse. As far as I'm concerned, yes, those can be helpful, but I think we're missing the boat here. We're looking at the fancy thing and we're going past the basics. And the basics are what we need to be thinking about. And so I'm not in my home because I want those things to off-gas. I've got the filtration system going in the house to help clear that crap out of my house before I return back to it. Now, yeah, that's extreme. And you might be thinking, well, I can't do that. Put it in your garage. Put it somewhere where you can let it, basement, whatever, you can let things off gas. But by not doing that, by not exposing myself to that, I'm allowing for my system to detox more effectively. So what I'm going to be talking about here in the rest of this podcast is how to allow your body to do its thing. Your body's intelligent. It's designed to be able to detox more effectively. Where we run into problems is that we're constantly inundated, but we're not letting the body catch up in its detox capabilities. Let's talk about the liver for a second. Let's talk about food for a second. Let's talk about both at the same time. Why not? So food is a huge part of where your body builds up toxicity. And in particular, what your food comes in is a factor in relation to something called xenoestrogens or plastic estrogens. These plastic estrogens turn into estrone, which is your inflammatory sister. E1 is what us folks in the functional medicine call it. It's inflammatory estrogen. It's what gets stored in your fat. It gets stored in your body. And you don't want it. You want estradiol. You want estriol. Estradiol is E2, estriol is E3. Estriol helps the vaginal tissue keep things lubricated, keep sex lovely as you get older. E2 has over 400 functions in your body. This is your estradiol. You want those around. You don't want the inflammatory estrogen. So how do you avoid it? You got to be looking at what are you eating that comes in plastic. Now, obviously, you can have grass-fed, grass-finished beef, and it's going to be in plastic. There's nothing anyone can do about that. Unless you buy a cow from a farm that processes it in butcher paper. And even then, there's still some plastic involved. So you can't avoid plastics, but you can freaking minimize how much. Are you microwaving plastic? Are you drinking out of to-go cups for coffee day in, day out? One day here and there isn't the end of the world. But if it's more than a couple of days a week, you are minimizing your body's natural ability to detox. Are you putting those plastic stirrers in your hot coffee? You're putting plastics in your drink. Xenoestrogens equal plastic. Now, in a couple weeks, so 2 weeks to be exact, on a Saturday, I am going to be releasing my podcast with Jenna Hua, and she's talking all about BPA. We've been like brainwashed to think that having a label on our cans, having a label on our plastic that says BPA free is the end all be all. It's not. There are BPAs from the alphabet, like literally B, D, Z, blah, 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 all the way down. You have 26 options, let's put it that way, every alphabet letter of BPA. They just, all they have to do is change it. They get a BPA B on their lining of a can, and they don't have to label it. We're in a messed up situation here in terms of labeling and food and processed stuff. No, I get it if you have to rely on canned foods. I get it if you have to rely on frozen vegetables and plastic. Great, that happens. Just don't heat that up in that plastic. Those steamer bags that are out there, cringe. That plastic getting heated up, what do you think you're doing? Don't do it. Now, I want to get back to the whole fear-based thing here. I don't want anyone to listen to this and be like, oh my God, I'm like totally killing myself. It's not that. Let's minimize exposure. Let's help your body to detox these exposures because we can't avoid plastics. We freaking can't. You can try the best and gosh bless you if you can do it. But I can't. I do buy frozen food sometimes. As much as I try to grow garden, you know, my fresh vegetables in my garden, I can't all the time. Do I have canned stuff? Every once in a while. You know, I think it's very important to think about, like, what are your exposures? And like, okay, great. How can you work around these things? What is the workaround? Because like I said, I know that I'm kind of bordering on that fear thing and I don't want to go there because it's not what I want people to be thinking about. I want you all to be thinking about, okay, great. I'm going to be exposed to chemicals through my liver, in particular with these plastics. How do I limit how much is building up in my system? How do I allow my liver to work effectively day in, day out? How do I allow my cells to detox effectively day in, day out? The biggest things you want to be paying attention to when you can't avoid plastics all the time, when you can't avoid canned goods all the time, you want to be thinking about making choices about the rest of your food in terms of junky oils, cottonseed oil, anything that says hydrogenated, even expeller pressed safflower, sunflower. They make it look like it's so healthy. Fried avocado oil chips, fried coconut oil chips. They look fancy. I've even fallen into it. But guess what? Anything fried that's in oil, no bueno. It's going to gunk up your liver. Is it fine to have them once, twice a week? Yeah. But if it's an everyday habit, this is where I'm getting at. If these things are an everyday habit, you want to be thinking about, okay, let's ditch that so I can minimize how much exposure through my liver. Same thing goes through anything processed that has an oil and is fried, right? Anything, tortilla chips, all that. You want baked stuff or literally you want to buy the tortilla yourself, which is hard to find a tortilla, by the way, that's flour that isn't processed with hydrogenated oils. There are some brands, but here's the bottom line. If you can find them that way, great. Cut them into squares and bake them yourself, and now you got chips. There are workarounds here, and this is where I want to help out big time is the workarounds. How can we optimize your food so that you're getting the minimal amount of junk? Now, here's another big area in terms of processed things we don't pay attention to. Nuts, seeds, roasted, any of these has oils. Those oils are rancid. They gunk up your system and bog down your liver. Anytime your liver is bogged down, you can't make hormones properly and you can't detox them properly. If you saw my reel post on the liver and how we process hormones, your protective pathway needs to be open. And what bogs it down is oils, these processed oils. These are the same freaking oils that I think are messing with our cholesterol levels too. Just saying. When you can't get your cholesterol down, get out all the processed oils. What's the best oil to cook with? Avocado sauteing? That's it. Olive oil has also had research shown to be inflammatory. Coconut oil is a joke. I love to put it on my skin if it's unrefined, but that's cooking with it is a problem. And most of the companies have it hidden in there with refined versus unrefined. You got to read the label really tightly. Like, sit there and pay attention. If it says refined, you're getting junk. It's going to bog down your liver. So you really want to be thinking about minimize the exposure to the liver. There's tons of ways Like I said, avocado oil is the highest heat point. You can heat it up the highest and it does the best with the body. I actually recommend using oils like olive oil, but in a not heated way. You can absolutely use nut oils that have not been roasted. Anything that's been roasted, problem. But you can home toast your nuts. Sounds kind of silly to say that, but really you can. You can buy raw or sprouted nuts and toast them in your oven. Now you got that kind of roasty flavor. Boom, you're done. You could put spices on them, cinnamon. You can do, you know, all of the holiday spices. You can make them spicy with like cayenne and like taco spices, like cumin and those things. How do you get them to stick to the nuts? Use egg whites. Don't have to use oil. So that's my workaround there to help your liver. Now, what's another biggie is alcohol. It's tough. If you're going to drink, you want to be considering the portion that you have. 4 ounces to 5 ounces max of wine is a one serving, not the whole glass. Believe me, I've been there, drank a whole bottle and been like, oh, who drank that? I have no idea what just happened. That's hard on your liver. So minimizing alcohol, but if you're going to drink, working on making sure you take something to help the liver process that alcohol more effectively. Diindolmethane is an extract from the cabbage family. In particular, they use broccoli quite a bit. And it's like having a bajillion broccoli cups versus, you know, a cup of broccoli. It's not as strong. You can minimize your effect of the alcohol if you take the DIM to help your body clear it. The same thing goes for helping with your gut microbiome, which we'll talk here in a second. The other big exposure place that's hard on the liver is all of the chemicals that you put on your skin. Whether it's the soaps you use to wash your hands, whether it's the lotions you use, whether it's your skincare lines. Now, I will be honest that I cycle some of the clinical lines of skincare that have some things that are a little borderline could be problematic. Parabens you want to ditch. Things like sodium lauryl sulfate, those things you want to ditch. There's a whole list if you go to the Environmental Working Group, EWG.org. They've got all of it for you. Just go to their website. They'll tell you what exactly you don't want in your skincare. But sometimes I will flex on it because I'm going to be straight up honest. The organic lines aren't as amazing as the clinical lines. And if you really need to get some hyperpigmentation, like dark spots like I have down, you have to use a clinical line. There's no sugarcoating it. Yes, vitamin C serums can work. Yes, retinol can work and help. But sometimes you've really got to bring out the heavy hitters if you've got more significant damage to your skin. You got to have a way to detoxify it. So what am I talking about here? A workaround. You like your wine, get the workaround to help your liver work more effectively. Use the DIM. Also use tributrin, which is a fatty acid that helps support your gut lining. Tributrin is amazing. Like Tributrin X from Healthy Gut or Tributrin 350 from Apex. Those are my two favorite companies. Tributrin Supreme 2 from Designs for Health. Those are all companies that have great fatty acids in the form of butyrate that are in capsules so you don't taste the funky taste of butyrate. It's gross. Just saying. But you can use that before and after drinking to help your gut lining in addition to taking the DIM to help your gut to process the alcohol more effectively. Workarounds here, people. You want to be thinking about that because the less you can bog down that liver with little holiday indiscretions or things of that nature, a night out on the town, because you have to live. I would be lying if I said I never drank. I do. I do like wine. I don't like being drunk and I don't like feeling like crap. I'll drink a little bit here and there. I'll eat out. When I eat out, I do the same thing. I take DIM and I take the butyrate to help my body to process whatever I got exposed to in the restaurant. You can't control the restaurants and what they use, obviously. But I'm not going on the extreme end like some of my colleagues are and saying, don't eat out, don't drink ever. You know what? You do you and find the workaround. I'm here to help you with it. Now, the other big thing in addition to optimizing liver is circulation in your body. The biggest issue that I think almost, I would say, in terms of why we end up with pain, why we end up with some chronic issues is not having circulation to certain tissues, whatever our tissue or the area are kind of like our Achilles heel, our problem area, circulation. We need to maximize circulation in our body. We get nutrients in, we get the junk out. It boils down to helping your body to detox by maximizing circulation within your body. when I was studying Chinese medicine, I'm an acupuncturist in addition to a naturopathic doctor. When I was studying Chinese medicine, the biggest impact that I found on my body with acupuncture, but also herbs in the Chinese medicine world, is they boost circulation. Same thing goes for working on your breathing and working on exercise. I'm not talking about starting CrossFit. I'm not talking about running marathons. I'm talking about just freaking moving 20 minutes out of every hour and spending at least a half hour a day where you're really focused on just moving at a little bit bigger of a clipping pace. But here's the thing. If you can maximize your circulation in your body, you can help your body prevent illness. Hands down. Ginkgo, Angelica, which is Dong Guai. These are two herbs that are incredible for that. But not only that, eating more rosemary, eating more basil, eating more oregano. Your spices, think of those good spices that you can grow in the garden. Basil, think, I mean, just good stuff. Thyme, all of those enhance circulation. Cinnamon, clove, allspice, all those are freaking amazing for boosting circulation. Breathing. What does breathing do for your circulation? If you are taking good inhales and longer exhales, you know what happens? You get to release more oxygen to your tissues. What happens when you have more oxygen? You can make more energy. You trigger more circulation within those tissues that are further out that your body forgot about. Chances are right now you could touch your butt, you could touch your belly, and they're going to be cold. The more fat you have, the colder they're going to be. How do you get that to be warm? You move. You move and you keep working on eating these foods that help with promoting circulation. Spices are king. Put those into anything you possibly can. Don't get on the boring American bandwagon of, oh, I guess I'll use salt and pepper. No, start adding in a whole bunch of spices. And if you can, grow a little herb garden. I am a huge fan of that. And right now I'm kind of cringing because I had a beautiful herb garden when I lived in Washington, and in Wisconsin, things don't grow all year outside. So I'm getting creative. But here's what it is. You want to work on those herbs and those foods to help you with circulation and work on breathing. I talk a lot about looking at the work of Patrick McEwen, theoxygenadvantage.com. Look at his stuff. Genius here. You want to know about the science behind a lot of it? The book Breathe by James Nestor. Incredible, mind-blowing in terms of how us humans have really jacked with ourselves based on our breathing and really working on being able to breathe through the nose. If you're a mouth breather, and I mean this in the very nicest way, work on seeing if you can challenge yourself to breathe through your nose. If you struggle with sleep apnea, dial that in. Look at what's going on overnight. Let's see if we can help you to work on breathing during the day so that maybe you don't need that machine anymore. Because breathing has a lot to do with circulation. The more you circulate, the better you detox your body on a natural basis. What is it detoxing? It's detoxing your mitochondria. Your mitochondria are your little factories in every single one of your cells. Those mitochondria are what you want to work on point. Those guys are what help you clean up. They clean up from just infections. They clean up from just daily stuff. They are what are involved in helping you clean up cellular waste. A lot of people talk about oxidative stress. What does oxidative stress mean? You are building up byproducts of making energy in your cells. The mitochondria in charge are helping you detox that. But if they're not working well, you're not going to detox well. So how do you boost that? What do you do with your mitochondria? Fasting. That's why so many people talk about fasting. And I'm not talking about days on end. If you are chronically fatigued, if you fast for 24 hours, you're going to be more fatigued. Move into the slowly. If you have thyroid conditions, if you have hormone imbalance, slowly moving into this. Your mitochondria are also where the magic happens when it comes down to breaking down hormones. Your mitochondria in your gut cells, your mitochondria in your liver, your mitochondria are what are in charge of methylation. This advanced breakdown of hormones, the endpoint breakdown of hormones. It's where you need B6. It's where you need magnesium. It's where you need the folate, the B12. That is your methylation. And it's happening in your mitochondria. Mitochondrial health is really directly related to aging and how well you are aging. The better you can take care of these guys, the better things are going to be. How do you do that? Some of the testing I've been talking about in terms of vitamin testing will tell you what's up in the mitochondrial department. But you can take care of mitochondria by letting them catch up during the day. So stop eating at a certain point wait 12 to 16 hours before you start eating again. That is a great way to let them catch up every single day. If you're struggling with fatigue, start working on maybe even like a 18, like going to 16 to 18 hours in between meals. For hormonal balance, I always talk to ladies about 10, eating between 10 and 6 or 12 to 8, letting the body catch up. Because the mitochondria are involved in detox, but they're also involved in your hormone balance. This is why sometimes ladies will come to me and be like, I'm doing all the things to balance my hormone. I'm taking all the herbs. Nothing's working. Or a lady will come in and say, I've been taking bioidentical hormones and they don't work. It's not that they don't work. It's that your body's not detoxing the hormones that you're getting in, either via the gut, the liver, or the cells. Now, let's talk about the gut for a moment. The gut microbiome is a big deal when it comes to helping your body to clear hormones. And in fact, we can supplement with something called calcium D-glucarate. It binds up extra estrogens floating around in your gut and clears them out the stool. But what happens naturally to do this? If your gut bugs, beneficial bacteria in particular, are on point, they will help you to do this naturally. It's called your estrobilome. This is your microbiome that balances your hormones. How do you work with this? You work on improving your gut function. So another thing that helps your body naturally detox day in, day out. If you're not pooping every single day, if you have diarrhea, if you have gas, bloating, IBS symptoms, food babies, all that kind of stuff, if you feel like that, your gut is off. And more often than not, stomach acid is the problem. 9 times out of 10. I've talked at nauseam about the hydrochloric acid challenge. You can look at some of my posts on that. If you want more, just hit me up. I can tell you more about that. But if you get the gut working better, guess what? You're detoxing those hormones through the gut better. You're helping your body detox as a whole better. That is going to help you along the way. Going back to basics here. Chewing food, sitting down to eat, reducing stress around food, not eating on the go. Absolutely huge. Segues me into the last but not least area that's, I don't care how overlooked it is. It is number one when I am ruling out every single thing that's keeping a patient from getting results, stress. You may have internal stress that you cause yourself. So your mind thoughts, your demeanor, how you see the world, how you see what's going on right now, whatever takes you down a very negative pathway. That is affecting your gut, your cells, your mitochondria, your liver, every single part of your body. Now, I'm not here to scare you. And I'm like, man, I try not to scare people. And I'm kind of sounding scary on this. But really, it's basics. Going back to basics. There are herbs to help with managing stress, things of that nature. But I'm going to be straight up freaking honest with you. More often than not, I give ladies an adaptogenic herb and they feel nothing. I still keep people on rhodiola or Romania root more often than not because I know that they are good herbs to help with a tonic kind of overall balance. But I'm going to be honest, nobody feels much from them. And it's because they're working subtly because you need to work on your stuff, where your mind goes when it gets upset. Those thoughts you have every single day, how you let energy vampires interrupt your life. And energy vampires can be people, they can be situations, they can be your work, they can be a bunch of different things that bug you. It can be like a broken tile in your kitchen that you haven't gotten fixed for the last 20 years. It's things that annoy you that will eat at you. And those are the things that really will mess with your ability to be healthy as a whole. The more cortisol is elevated for longer periods of time, the more chance it has to actually peter itself out. And how does it peter itself out? It wears on your adrenal glands, the little glands that sit on top of your kidneys that work on blood sugar balance, that work on fluid balance in your body. So that's why you might be swollen in addition to general estrogen connection there, but also electrolyte balance. You feel lightheaded, you feel dizzy, you feel weak. The adrenal is also in charge of making hormones after your period has stopped, menopause. Now, if these guys are weak, you're going to have a heck of a time to make natural hormones for yourself. How do we know where they're at? DHEA. DHEA sulfate tells you what the adrenal function is left over at. So you got to work on stress management. And it doesn't have to be complicated. You don't have to freaking meditate. You don't have to go to yoga. Literally taking breaks during the day, two of them from 2 to 5 minutes during the day, just to reset the system. It's all about telling your system you are safe, you are fine, everything is okay. There is nothing to be worried about. You have to repeat it over and over again, yes, but it helps like no other. And the biggest factor that I found with this that's been a game changer for me and so many of my patients is something called positional parasympathetic breathing. And hands down, if you do nothing else to help your body with stress, if you lay down and put your legs up 5 minutes before bed, you will sleep better. You will feel better. If you do it after a workout, you're going to tell your body, shut the cortisol down, stop pumping it, and it will stop it. Now, is it going to happen in one session? No, but it'll happen over time if you practice it. And it will help you to lower cortisol levels as you get into the evening. So if you find yourself waking up after you fall asleep at 2, 3, 4, or 5 in the morning, you're having hot flashes or night sweats, guess what? Cortisol can be a factor. Yes, estrogen deficiency too, but go back to basics here. Go back to basics before you start the bioidentical hormones. Go back to basics before you start tweaking things with herbs. Work on calming the nervous system, getting a good wind down routine in the evening where you shut the screen time off, stop watching social media stuff, propaganda, TV, all that. There's nothing good on the news. There's nothing. There might be one tiny blip of 2 minutes of them telling you that, oh, someone donated something to help someone out. Great. That's wonderful. You know what? You want to feel good about stuff? Go donate. Go participate in society. Give back. There'll be way more than what you're going to see on the news. In fact, it's funny. There used to be a thing, I think even, I don't even remember when I was in maybe my teenage years, something about kill your television. At this point, I'm kind of on that pathway because I think most people's stress comes from what they see on television. Absolutely, hands down. Yes, it's my opinion, but unless you're watching the Hallmark Channel 24/7, like I like to if I'm gonna watch TV, just kill the other stations. You'll save yourself a lot of grief. I'm not kidding. So here's the deal. Going back to basics. I hope that I've not scared folks because I didn't want to. I didn't want to go down fear-based, but I want to go down reality-based of what I've seen in the last almost 17 years of being in practice. I'm not here to sell supplements. I'm not here to sell anything other than basics. I want you to be thinking about what are we missing when it comes to our hormone balance? What are we missing when it comes to health? And how can you optimize all the basic stuff to help your body balance hormones better? I will tell you 9 times out of 10, if I start with the basics on folks, then work on some herbs or work on bioidenticals if I need to, we're going to have a lot better of basis with hormones. Now, is there more to it with hormones when there's severe conditions? Absolutely. But if you don't have the basics down, you don't get the best results. So if you're looking to balance your hormones, you want to be thinking about the things I mentioned today. You will see in my emails multiple things about hormone balance. And if you have questions, by all means, just hit me up. Get on my email list. And when my emails come out, hit reply. Ask me questions. I want to know what you guys are feeling lost on. I want to know what you're experiencing. Most women in perimenopause and menopause experience symptoms of elevated estrogen. So estrogen overload. Most of us are deficient in progesterone because the body steals progesterone to make cortisol to keep us stressed. That's why stress management is so huge. So that being said, I will keep posting things. I'll keep talking about hormones as we go on, but I want you to be thinking about the basics. You don't need fancy detoxes. You don't need all of these juice cleanses and all that stuff. You want to look at your exposures as a whole. The better your body is available to clear, like the liver is to be able to detox, the better your cells are cleared out. So with fasting, things of that nature, the cleaner the water you're drinking, the better your body's going to be able to function on its own and it will detox on its own. You don't need this fancy stuff. You don't need the fancy stuff. Now, am I saying you don't need a gut bug rearrangement, things of that nature, if we find that you have something imbalanced? No. But what I'm saying is start with the basics first and move to the advanced stuff later. That's where I'm here to help and guide folks as well. All right. This is a long one. I hope you guys enjoyed it. Hit me up with questions. You've survived another episode of The Health Fix. I'm your host, Dr. Janine Krause. You guys have a great day, whatever you're doing, and make sure to communicate, send some messages. Let's talk about all this hormone stuff in my community at clever.fm/The Health Fix.
Hey, fellow health junkie. Thanks for listening to The Health Fix podcast. If you enjoyed tuning in, please help support me to get the word out about the podcast. Subscribe, rate, and review, and just get that word out. Thanks again for listening.